for at least 2 years, weakening the regime is very necessary to bring about certain settlements, to make certain settlements and deals. And Kissinger continues and says the following. After he continues, he says, look, Rimon Eddy, you have a sympathetic point of view, which cannot be compared to me. I look at the world geography according to American interests and according to Israeli interests in the region. And what is evidence to this, and listen, you Lebanese, listen so you can understand what happened since the 1970s until today. What is evidence to this is that the war never stopped in your country if Israel's security is threatened. The civil war in your country will not stop if Israel's security is threatened. This is what you're worth to the Americans, because what is going on in the region must be a hostage to this logic. And Kissinger continues and says, Mr. Eddy, do you want me to believe in your friendship to the American people? On the other hand, I want you to say that my commitment to Israel is just like my commitment to my wife and my children. I have no commitment to anyone as much as I have to Israel, except for my family. This is what Kissinger says. A very important point as well. After he says, I came to Lebanon, I came and left Lebanon, he says, I found out, I discovered during the hours which I spent in a military base, he said, I was in a place which is running away from its destiny. I know your answer to this question is that the responsibility of this is on the shoulders of the United States of America. But believe me that the United States of America tried time and again to make conspiracies in the Arab world, and we are continuing to do this. However, our attempts failed. Why? Listen, why? Because we confronted a national resistance, and because we confronted internal refusers, rejections. They were failed. And now he goes back to Lebanon and he says the earthquakes don't happen except in certain areas, areas which are very, very strong. So what he says is earthquakes don't even happen in strong areas, in strong territory. He said Lebanon is the perfect place to practice conspiracies, not just against itself, however, against the whole Arab world. And here I found in Lebanon's contradictions new elements to build a new trap for the Arab world. And he says, President Ford told me once again that the success which I achieved in my plan in Lebanon covered the mistakes which I made in Chile and Cyprus and Angola. And I didn't believe that I would be this successful. It's true that Israel's presence has expanded the scope of efforts. However, the Lebanese contradictions provided us, the Lebanese contradictions, I repeat, provided us with the continuation of our plan, the possibility to continue with our plan. And may peace be upon you. This must be written in gold. This must be written in gold. This is something which must be studied in Lebanon and in the Arab world. This must be published very clearly and must be distributed for all Lebanese to read, for all Lebanese elders to read. This is America. This is its policies. All those who joined America in the 70s, 80s, 90s, until now, this is America whom you join. America uses you, America employs you for its projects, and they don't do anything for you, for your security. What concerns America is its interests and Israel, nothing else. Based upon this analysis, on this reading, I'll go back to phase three, the Israeli war on Lebanon. An American decision was made after we refused to come to power, after they refused failed in their incentives to give us power, they resorted to another plan. It's very late, we have to begin with our project for the new Middle East. Now we'll go back, of course, regarding the war. They'll speak about we took the two Israeli soldiers as captives. I said that if we didn't take these two soldiers, they would have surprised us with a surprise war in August. If we hadn't taken these two soldiers, they had this element of surprise, so the situation could have been even worse. However, because we took the two soldiers captive, they began the war, the Israelis, in July. They took the decision to go to war at that time. Bush's assumption, his prediction, he and Olmert, they believed that in a maximum of 2 weeks, Hezbollah would be destroyed. Between you and me, if you speak based upon war power or machine power or the war machine, the scope of targeting, the scope of destruction, you know very well, the Lebanese know very well, and know again. They destroyed our bases, they destroyed our houses. There were certain targets which they destroyed once, twice and three times because the bank of targets was exhausted. They wanted their plan to be successful and they wanted the resistance to be destroyed and those who remained alive of the resistance be arrested and be imprisoned and people raise their hands and surrender. That was what they wished, but this didn't occur. George Bush expresses his disappointment and holds the Israeli military performance responsible, what he calls the weak Israeli military performance. He holds it responsible and he believes that a golden opportunity in the first week of the war was missed by Olmert and by Israel to destroy Hezbollah, because in the first week, as George Bush says, the G8 countries were against Hezbollah, they stood with Israel in the war, the whole world stood with Israel in the war. But after that, when the resistance was able to stand on its own two feet during the war, and after we saw protests and after the world turned out against Israel after it committed the massacres, and the Israelis ran into a lot of trouble, and the Israelis themselves, they say that Olmert called for ending the war after the first week, and he believed, he knew at that time the war wouldn't achieve its aims. Who insisted on continuing the war? The Americans. And George Bush confesses and says, I am the one who called for prolonging the war so I could renew the opportunity for Israel to destroy Hezbollah. He gave her a second week, a third week, he gave Israel more weeks, and he was ready to give it more. However, George Bush himself says that in the National Security Council, they made an evaluation, and the evaluation reached the conclusion that they couldn't continue the war. Nobody should say America stopped our war. As I said on the 14th of August last year, nobody should say, or this year, nobody should say that we stopped the war, that the other stopped the war. Our perseverance, the perseverance of the resistance, the army, the honorable fighters, not the betrayers, the fighters, those who stood with perseverance, they were the ones who led to the stoppage of the war on Lebanon, who made the war on Lebanon stop. So in the American National Security Council, they made an evaluation and they reached the following result. If we continue, until now, nothing has happened. In the fourth week of the war, it had become clear that the Israelis, and if you notice, the biggest military Israeli losses, the loss of soldiers and loss of tanks, occurred in the last weeks and the last days. They reached the following conclusion. We must go to the Security Council. Bush says that he took the decision to go to the Security Council for three reasons. Of course, after the discussions in the National Security Council, first of all, the first reason was to save Israel. Will the 14th of March agree to this, agree to such a confession from their teacher George Bush? No, but this is right. He did do this to save Israel. My dear friends, 40,000 Israelis were entering into South Lebanon. Tanks were destroyed. Soldiers were killed on the Israeli side. The soldiers which they entered, parachute soldiers, were without food. They died of hunger. They screamed. And they started to curse their generals and their high-ranking military leadership. They wanted food. They said, exchange me. This was the situation of the Israeli military at the end of the war. The Israeli commandos, the special forces, were only... After 48 hours, they called to be exchanged. The resistance fighters in Bint Jebel and in Aita, you know the whole story. I told them in the middle of the war, there's no need for you to stay. They stayed for 33 days and even longer than that. But so George Bush is correct when he says, I went to the Security Council to save Israel. Because if the war had continued, you would have witnessed something else. A bigger Israeli defeat. You would have witnessed a bigger, a more huge Israeli defeat. Because at that time it was it. The faith of the Israeli government in the military, the Israeli military leadership in the soldiers, the chain of trust had been struck, the spirit in Israel had been struck, and we could have made a bigger achievement if the war had continued. Then one could ask me the question, why did you accept the end of the war? We didn't. We are not people who like wars. We witnessed what was going on. But we take responsibility of our people, of our houses, of our homes. So first of all, Bush didn't stop the war for the sake of Lebanon. He stopped the war to save Israel. He didn't stop the war to save Lebanon's civilians, its children. Its massacres, the massacres by Israel, didn't affect Bush's feelings. He stopped the war for the sake of saving Israel. Second of all, so that America wouldn't be isolated, because as time goes by, the whole world is backing down from its support for the war, and America was by itself in support of the war. And the image of America in the Arab world, America says it's trying to save people from tyranny and from dictators and wants to spread democracy and believes one of its biggest accomplishments was the Cedars Revolution. So all of this was going to be struck. For this reason, America, George Bush went to the Security Council to save America's image. And the third reason why he went to the Security Council, he says, to save the democratic Senura government. And this third reason, he is a liar and the son of a liar as well. He does not care about the Senura government, nor does he care for any other government. These are empty words. He just said this to say that there is some democracy in Lebanon which we care for. George Bush was in the White House when the May 7 events occurred. What did the George Bush administration do for the Senura government at that time? The issue is Israel. Okay, so the war ended, the war failed. And now, after I go into phase four, there is another file we must open. We didn't open this file after the war, but we must open this file, we must look into it now. And it is our right in the name of 1,400 martyrs in the July 2006 war. Lebanese, Palestinian, Syrian and Arab martyrs, resistance fighters from all different resistance factions, from the army, from the security services, farmers, laborers, in the name of all of these martyrs who fell in the July 2006 war, we have a question to ask. Are there Lebanese political leaders, Lebanese politicians who called for a war to be waged on the resistance in Lebanon or not? Are there Lebanese politicians who actually made this request? Are there any Lebanese political leaders who, during the war, called for prolonging the war so that Israel could be able to destroy the resistance? Are there any Lebanese politicians who made such demands or requests? Are there any Lebanese political leaders or political figures who put their money on this war? What are the roles which certain political leaders and certain Lebanese political figures played during the war, in the media, politically, and even from a security perspective? Is there anyone in Lebanon who takes responsibility for prolonging the negotiation of a cessation of hostilities so that the war would be prolonged? Yes. Yes. I go back to the French. I go back to the French once again. Of course, the French person phoned a certain Lebanese figure and they used to meet in Beirut. And he said, my dear friend, the situation has ended. America has accepted, the French have accepted, the Israelis have accepted. Everybody has accepted. Your government hasn't accepted. Your government here in Lebanon, your government hasn't accepted to end the war. These are recorded. This is recorded. The recordings of the cabinet. These recordings do exist. However, regardless, after the war, we didn't open this file up, nor did we look into it, nor did we ask anyone. nor did we call for an international tribunal, nor did we call for a justice council. We said, okay,